How y'all doing? I don't know them. All right, so we're doing this series. You're not idiots. You know how it works. We do series that the Lord's put on us, and this month is friendship. Friendship by design. Does anybody consider their mom a friend? There's a couple hands. Most of you, no. That's not what we're talking about. But I was just curious. My mom and I have become friends. We have become friends. But my mom drives me crazy. Amen? 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 My mom drives me crazy with her cell phone. Amen? Amen? No? My mom drives me crazy with her cell phone for this reason. She has an iPhone. She has an iPhone. I don't know why. She's old. Does anybody's grandmother have an iPhone? Really? 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 That's great. I think that's cool. I hope to have something cool like that. Anyway, back to where I was digressing. My mom has an iPhone, and she's got this little device that plays music and surfs the internet and has games and, you know, million apps, whatever, blah, 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 blah. The problem with that is she has all these things, and she uses her iPhone only to make calls. That's all she uses it for. Isn't that a waste? You know, it's kind of like you bought a new car, and all you use it for is just to listen to the radio. You know, it doesn't make sense. You're missing out. Friendship created by God, we use them to have fun. We use them for different things, but there's a benefit that we're missing out on. I missed out on for several years. The benefit for friendship, it's spiritual. God created it. God created this thing that we're missing out on. It's kind of like, you know, having an iPhone. Just use it to make calls. It's a waste. It's a waste. Dustin used this passage, spoke on this passage a couple weeks ago. Ecclesiastes 4. If you got your Bible, turn to it. If not, you know the drill. It's on the screen. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, that verse, you know what it tells me? God created this. There's more to that than just hangout friends. You know, there's more to this than just someone to text when you're bored. This is a deep friendship, a deep relationship that if you're honest, I think you're missing. Think about your best friend. Maybe it's one person, BFF for life, you text each other all the time. Maybe it's a group of you, two, three, four, whatever. You know, even Jesus, you know, Jesus had 12 disciples, but there were three that he was closest with, right? This model of, you know, we have friends. You should be friends with everyone. Be nice to people. You know, we've heard this since you're like three. Share your toys, right? But there's a core group of people that it's really important that you surround yourself with. So the question that we're asking tonight is, what are the benefits of friendship, right? You know, clearly in Ecclesiastes, there's something more there. There's something more than many of the just the acquaintances you have. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. If you have your Bible, 2 Timothy 2. This is the verse we're going to kind of camp out in, verse 22. Let's talk about the background, all right? So Paul, you know Paul, wrote a lot of stuff. He's in prison in Rome right now, and he's writing a letter to Timothy. He's about to die. Okay, think about that. You're in prison, you're about to die, you're writing a letter to your closest friend. What are you going to say? You're probably going to put things that are very, very important. You're going to leave out things about the Cowboys or your favorite song right now or something else. You're probably going to get to the point. You're probably going to say, do this, value this. You know, looking back on my life, this. You know, this is what 2 Timothy is. This is basically his last letter. So let's camp out in 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Right, let's read again. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. All right, so all we're doing tonight, listen, We're not going to be here long. All we're doing is we're going to just dwell on this verse, all right? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to start with so, all right? If you ever see, so is just like a therefore, okay? If you ever see therefore in the Bible, Paul uses it a lot, you always have to say, what is the therefore, therefore, right? Does that make sense? It's kind of clever. It's kind of dumb. But it's good for nerds like me to help remember things because I'm a nerd, but I'm not that smart. So basically, so is referencing something beforehand, right? Okay? So let's look up two verses. All right, 20 and 21. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable use. Okay, so basically, it's pretty simple. You know, in your house, you have things for different purposes, right? You have some for good things and some for bad things. Back then, it wasn't like there was hand sanitizer and soap everywhere. You could clean it, stick it in the dishwasher, right? You had your fork that you ate with, right? And then you also had something to like scoop the donkey poop away from the house, right? You didn't want to get those two things mixed up because there really wasn't an effective way to clean it. So it's not like, you know, you drop your fork, you pick it up, you're like, oh, you know, wash it off, it's clean. You took care of it. You know, there's something there. All right, let's look at 21. Therefore, it's going back. We've already done that. If anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So basically what he's saying is separating yourself, becoming holy. You know, God wants to use you, but for that to happen, it's a call to holiness, a call to righteousness, a call to right living. Okay, this is what he's saying. So, he goes on, right? So we've already established that this is why the so is there. All right, check. Everybody got that? All right. Let's go on to the next section. Flee from youthful passions. Okay, this is the second part we need to talk about. Flee youthful passions. I know, when I remember reading this verse as a youth, I'm like, why is Paul calling me out like that? He's not. There wasn't youth back then. There was basically children and adults. But basically, wouldn't you agree that there's some things that are just that teenagers, young people like to do? They're just kind of immature. You right? You don't see old people egging houses, right? It would be funny, but you don't see it. Why? Because you grow up. Things that you thought were funny when you were a kid, you don't see grown men saying, "I know you are, but what am I?" You know, like you move on. We grow up, supposedly. But there are things, there are sins that we commit that you look back on, you're like, "That was so dumb." You know, why did I punch that guy for no reason? That was just dumb. We grow up. But youthful passions, it's not just sexual stuff, but it's just sin. It's sin, and I think what Paul's talking about is sins that involve peer pressure. You know, like almost every sin, you can almost take back to peer pressure, whether it be, you know, your typical drug, sex, alcohol sort of things. But I mean, even like arguing with your parents, you see your other friends model parent, you fight with your parents. You see, you know, your friends are telling you, no, don't take that from them. You do what you want to do, live your life. You know, peer pressure is everywhere, and that's fine. But Paul's basically saying, flee from this. You know, but what he's saying here, and we'll talk about in a sec, do it together. Do it together. There's accountability in deep friendships. That's what separates, that's a benefit, what separates, you know, normal friends from deep spiritual friendships. There's accountability there of saying, hey, listen, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, there's this idea of, you know, why are you doing this? You know, let's not do this. Let's be holy, right? A lot of times we seek accountability, and it's kind of a negative word to me sometimes because it normally involves someone else telling me that I messed up and I need to forgive, right? I mean, it's kind of a negative word to me. But let's go to the next part. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So basically, he just was saying, you know, friendships should flee from temptation. But look what it's saying here. It's also saying, together, let's pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That's encouragement. I mean, think about your best friends. Is that something they do? Do they encourage you? Do they push you towards that way? I've never really seen this model. I mean, you know, Brooks is here. Brooks and I were good friends in high school, and he challenged me in so many ways. But my junior year of college, it's a pretty crazy time for life. We were dating at the time, and I liked her a lot. But I also was working a job. I was actually a forklift driver, which seemed really cool when I applied for the job. But 3 months in, it was really miserable, but it paid pretty well, and so I kept doing it. But it was just a miserable job. I had tons of classes. It was a hard semester for me. Has anybody seen Super Size Me? A couple people, you probably had to watch it in health class because they're like, don't eat fast food. I was eating fast food all the time. All right, if you've seen him, he just gets sad. It's really sad. He just gets fat and depressed and everything. Well, that was me in a way, because I wasn't doing these things. I wasn't pursuing righteousness. I wasn't pursuing faith, love, peace. You know, I lived with three roommates at the time, and you know what they did? They loved me so much, they set me down. I'm like, Daniel, I'm like, you are extremely busy, and we know that. We know that you have a lot on your plate. But man, we're here to pray for you. We are praying for you. We want to pray for you now, because we see that you aren't doing these things. You're loving God, but you're not loving God with everything. You know, you still have faith, but it's not really showing. You're not serving people well right now. You're not caring for people well right now. And that encouraged me. They called me out and said, hey, listen, we are doing this. We need you to do this with us. Because remember Dustin was talking about last week, the conflict and the unity? Like, that was conflict. And they had to stop and deal with me because I was holding us as a group down because I wasn't doing these things. But it's a call to do this together. You can try to pursue this, and you'll be successful. You can pursue faith on your own. But man, when you do with a group of people, it's special. And God is really gonna orchestrate some incredible things in your life. Let's look at this last part. Let's look at this last part. Along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. All right, there's basically this screams, you can't do it alone to me. You know, like, throughout the Bible, you see, you know, avoid sin, and you see, you know, pursue good things, and you see that other, man, I love this verse, because it's calling us to do it with other Christians, other followers of Christ who love God with everything, and do it with a pure heart, right? Let's talk about pure heart for a second. Okay, first of all, no one has a pure heart, right? We're all sinful. You know, you can go into Romans and see that. But because Christ, you remember, died on the cross, forgave us of our sins, rose again, man, that's a gospel, and that is why we can have a pure heart. You know, we as humans have a sinful nature and are not worthy to even be called a pure heart, but it's because of the death and resurrection of Christ that we can stand boldly before the throne and say that, all right? So do you surround yourself with people like that? Is that the kind of people you do? I need to... Vargo, come here. Come here, Vargo. Don't clap for Ben. He's not worth it. I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah, clap now. Okay, this is my friend Ben. Ben, Dustin, no lie, Dustin and I really, we tried to figure out a way to do this, but we couldn't do it. We wanted to literally cover you in dirt. Listen, because this was how many of you view friendships. If we were to cover Ben in dirt, just use your imagination. We're not going to do it. It's too messy. Cover him, maybe stick some manure in there, you know, just make him smell really bad. And then played a game or something, and then we were like, all right, hey, clean up. But to clean up, all we did was give him a bucket of more dirt. You can't get clean adding dirt to dirt, right? What would happen if that happened? You'd get even more dirty. What do you need?
Water.
Water, soap, yeah, a brush, a lot of axe. You don't need axe? All right. But this is what many of you do. You say, man, I'm struggling with my anger. But you surround yourself with angry people, right? I mean, you say, man, I hate that I'm addicted to pornography, but you hang out and you say, hey, will you help me? But he's struggling with it too. You know, you need to find people who aren't dirty in the same areas. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. Thank you, Ben. We didn't do this. You're welcome. You can thank me later. But you see the point, though? Like, we see our own dirt, and we find someone else dirty, and we say, let's get clean together. It doesn't happen, all right? We all have different strengths and weaknesses. I actually thought of this. I should have looked it up in between the services. But there's a quote out there that I heard one time. It was basically this, you know, you can tell me your character, you can tell me about yourself, but show me your friends, because that's how I'm going to find out who you really are. You see what the guy is saying is like, you can tell me all you want about who you are and what you're about, what your character is, but man, I'm going to look at you and your group of friends because you are who you're with. You know, you are, because people will rub off on you. All right, I look at Proverbs. Proverbs has lots of great verses about friendship, but Proverbs 3:20 is really special to me. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. All right, you all, if you walk with wise people, you're going to become wise. If you walk with idiots, you're going to become an idiot. All right, it's true. If I'm wanting to be really good at basketball, all right, if I'm just trying to be the best basketball player I can be, I'm not going to go to the elementary school and play pickup games with fifth graders. I'm not going to get any better. It'll be fun. I'll dominate. I'll knock some kids down and make them cry and dunk on them. But like, I'm not going to become a better basketball player. All right, I'm going to find people that are better than me, you know, people that are older than me, taller than me, quicker than me, better shot. I'm going to challenge them. I'm going to play them all the time because eventually my game is going to rise to their level. All right, that's just common sense, right? Do you have the picture of my friends? These are the guys I lived with in college. And the reason I'm kind of speaking on this tonight is because I understand the benefit of friendships. I understand what it means to have a deep relationship in such a way that God is glorified. All right, let me I'm the one with the Rangers sweatshirt because I love the Rangers. Bryson is the one next to me, we'll say on the left side. This is Bryson. Bryson has the biggest servant's heart of anyone I know. He cares for people so well. Man, if he can talk to you, and he has this weird God-given ability to say, hey, are you okay? You know, like, can I do something for you? Can I serve you? It's incredible. And I love that about him, and I recognize that about him. And I said, hey, I want to be like you. Man, and so after hanging out with him, I started to kind of think like that. I started to kind of see that. All right, then there's me. The guy next to me is a guy named Derek. Derek is a great guy. Derek loves the Word of God. He bathes himself in it. He knows it. He lives it, okay? And as a guy, when I met him my freshman year, I mean, I liked the Bible, but man, I surrounded myself. We studied together because he wanted to study the Bible before he got to economics, you know, and I wanted this passion that he had for the Word of God, so I surrounded myself with him. And you know what? After a while, I started to pick up on it. I started to kind of see, you know, the story of Christ in the Old Testament. I started to see, you know, the beauty of what's in the scriptures. The guy next to him is a guy named Spencer. Brooks actually dated his sister for a while, oddly enough. Weird story. But Spencer has this incredible mind. He's brilliant. He's so, so, so stinking smart. I'm very jealous of him. But you know what? He takes his mind and he says, hey, God's given me this. I want to do something for the glory of God. You know, I talk with him, and he makes me smarter. You know, do you ever talk with those people? You just learn so much from them. So he's in law school now. You know why? Because he feels like that's the area where God's called him to use him. I want to be around people like that. Nick, this is my friend Nick. Nick is such an incredible, genuine person. He's chill as can be. Do you have your friend that's just chill, that you're just around, and you're just like, you can take a deep breath. The thing I love about Nick, because I'm more of a, I like to go. You know, I like to be doing something. I want to be going from one thing to the next. I want to be in school. When I get into school, I want to go to work. When I do work, I want to hang out. I want to watch a TV show for 30 minutes. I want to do this. Nick's like, hey, let's just chill. Let's just chill for a sec. Man, and that, you remember I was telling you my junior year when things were crazy? I would come in, he'd say, hey, no, listen, you need to stop. You need to sit down, buddy. We need to chat for a second. And he would just sit down and just talk and just the peace of the Lord would come over you. He just had this peace about him that was from the Lord. Man, these are things that I picked up on them. I started to, you know why? It's not because we just haven't, because I surrounded myself with people that were better than me. You know, and I pray, and my prayer then, it still is now, that I just kind of take that and apply them to my life. You know, these guys were more than just someone to go to a movie with. I saw the benefit of our friendship and the talents and gifts that God had given them, and I just tried to model that. Friendships, you know, they're different for everybody. You know, like some of you're more an introvert, and you have like one or two friends. Man, what are you doing with those one or two friends? Are you praying for each other? Are you encouraging each other? Are you together fleeing sin and pursuing righteousness and faith and love? Some of you are extroverts. Man, you're crazy. You're the life of the party. You have 6 million friends. Man, that's fine. That's incredible. That's a gift from God. But I want to encourage you, go deep. Have some friends with benefits. You know, some of you need to pull a couple friends aside. Like, hey, we're friends, but man, we're not fleeing sin together. You know, we're not pursuing righteousness together. There's a difference, and like I said, I've seen it. I had Brooks and some other good friends in high school. But man, when I got to college and I understood what it really meant to just soak up the spiritual gifts of other people and just learn, man, it changed my life. There's something, you know, I mean, calls whoever, in Proverbs, it says, whoever walks with the wise become wise. Man, whoever, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Think about it. I mean, are you, it's, have friends, but man, who are you hanging around that's benefiting you? You know, you might have guys that are fun to hang out with, and that's great, but you can really miss something special that the Lord's calling us to. Can I get the band to come on up? A couple things I want to end with. First of all is, do you have friends with benefits? Do you have friends in your life that are doing these things for you? And if yes, that's great. I want to encourage you to keep moving in that. Keep growing. Keep learning from each other. Keep pushing. Keep challenging each other. You know, just like, you know, a fifth, you know, don't play with fifth graders. You know, play, surround yourself with people that are better than you. If you don't, it's hard. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen easily. On Sunday morning, we do more Bible studies. Some of you are part of that. I want to encourage you to come. This past week, we had kind of Commitment Sunday, and just allow for us to set goals and hold each other accountable. And you're paired up in twos and threes to hold each other accountable. Man, if you're in that, run with it. Because I've seen the power when two people are walking together. Going back to Ecclesiastes, you know, it says, you know, a strand of three cannot be broken. You can't do this alone. The Christian walk, it's challenging. You know, walking with Christ, and you're singing a second, you're my everything. That's hard. Be careful singing that. Just warning you, be careful singing that. Because if you invite Christ to everything, he's going to shake it up. And God can use you individually to change the world. But man, I mean, he used Moses, Abraham, people like that. But I really think that God's calling a group of you, twos and threes and fours, to make a huge impact in your schools, in the church, you know, even in your families. But it's going to take a sacrifice. It's going to take you saying maybe to a friend who's close that's not benefiting you and that's not walking with the Lord. Some of you might need to get on iTunes and download and listen to Dustin's talk again about conflict and just saying, hey, I'm trying to get to this point and I'm inviting you to walk alongside me. But man, if you're not ready, I mean, I'm going to need to find other people because I want to move in that direction. I want to grow in my faith. There's some people, y'all have a great group of Christian friends, but y'all aren't doing anything that glorifying. It's hard, but we can do it. But you can do it. Spend time praying with each other. Spend time encouraging each other. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for creating friendships. Your creation is beautiful. The mountains and the beaches. But Lord, when you call us to be friends and deep friends who benefit each other, man, that's beautiful, Father. Thank you for the guys in my life that you put in my past that have made me who I am, Father. Father, give these people, give these students, people around them, Father. If there's someone who's struggling with anger, Father, give them people in their lives who don't deal with that, and they can encourage each other, Father. If there's someone who wants to become a better, just a prayer warrior, someone who just loves praying for people, Father, just give them someone in their life that is driven that way and that loves to pray, Father, and they can encourage each other and they can challenge each other, Father. Father, this could be the end of some very difficult friendships. Maybe there's some drama and some baggage there, Father. I just pray for the wisdom for these students as they deal with that and the discernment. But Father, most importantly, thank you for the cross. Thank you for sending your son to die, that we may have life and life to the fullest. In your name we pray. Amen.